pensive about pensions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economic fallout is causing falling government pension values. A recent study by Northern Trust found that state and local pensions lost more than 9% of their value in the first 3 months of this year. It's something a lot of government entities are keeping an eye on this morning, and so is Marketplace's Steve Henn, who joins us now from Washington. Steve, how bad is it?
Well, you know, obviously that depends on the individual plan and how its investments are doing, but generally speaking, across the board, things are pretty bad. Some experts say the average state or local pension plan is just 50% funded right now. That means that those plans have just half the money they need to meet all their future pension obligations. Most state governments say they're doing a little bit better than that, but all things considered, the total sort of government pension shortfall is approaching $1 trillion.
So with all this trouble, Steve, are these pension funds guaranteed?
State and local pension plans aren't guaranteed. Private plans are guaranteed by a federal insurance program, but government plans are not. So if the stock market doesn't recover and these pension plans investments don't recover in the next few years, state and local governments are going to have to start kicking in a lot of extra money to cover their pension obligations.
And what about these private pensions? Are they doing any better?
Well, not really. They've been hit by the same stock market plunge that got the public pension plans. And they're also struggling with a relatively new law that forces them to catch up if they're underfunded pretty quickly in just a few years. So some of the bigger pension plans are facing required contributions this year of $10 million or maybe in some cases even $100 million. Jim Klein at the American Benefits Council says that's putting a tremendous strain on these businesses.
This has a lot of negative implications, both for the economy and, of course, for the individual companies and the workers and the retirees themselves.
Now, those big payments suck money away from other investments these companies could be making. It's also making it harder for firms to borrow from banks. And in some cases, these big pension obligations could push some firms toward bankruptcy.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thank you.
Sure thing.
A lot of those investments, of course, are in stocks, and we're on day three in a string of sell-offs. Dow closed at 77.89 yesterday, losing 186 points. S&P shares were off 2.3%. The NASDAQ fell 2.8%. Asian markets lost ground again today. Hong Kong, 3% down. Nikkei, 2.5% down. And European shares are down at this hour as well. The FTSE down now about 0.5%. First, banks, then automakers, now life insurance companies are likely to receive some sort of federal bailout. Many life insurers invested in some of the same toxic mortgage-backed assets that got the banks in trouble. The Wall Street Journal reports companies trying to get some bailout cash include Genworth, Hartford, and Prudential. These days, it's bailout this and recession that. The doom and gloom news of the day has a lot of pundits and policymakers anxious to compare the fallout of today to those of the past, like, say, the one from the 1930s. Commentator Will Wilkinson thinks we should all look at history differently.
Our current economic downturn has brought to life old debates about the Great Depression, what got us into it and what got us out of it. The role of the New Deal looms large. Did it deepen the Depression, as many economic historians now say? Or did it save capitalism from itself, like I learned in sixth grade social studies? Let me tell you, people get really heated about this question. But hold on. Is this debate really relevant to our current crisis? The U.S. of 80 years ago is a strange and faraway land. When the Great Depression hit, there was no Social Security, there was no unemployment insurance, and Jim Crow was in full effect. There was no such thing as a mortgage-backed security, a collateralized debt obligation, or a credit default swap. U.S. currency was backed by gold. Financial systems all over the world have undergone a series of deep changes since the 1930s. Trying to draw current policy lessons from the Great Depression is sort of like coming up with a new strategy for the war in Afghanistan by studying the Normandy invasion. Our pundits' obsession with the Depression and the New Deal represents an all-too-typical American exceptionalism, as if only our history really matters. But an apt comparison requires similar institutions, not the same flag. If we're going to fight over history, let's fight over the recent history of the 1990s Japanese and Swedish banking crises. Let's talk about the financial collapse of Argentina, from which it has only recently emerged. all those economies were more like America's is now than America's was way back when my grandpa was playing football in a sweater and a leather helmet. So what lessons should we draw from the rather more germane recent experiences of countries with similar economies? Truth is, I don't know. Maybe I should work harder to find out. And maybe American opinion makers should spend less time fighting over FDR's enduring legacy and more time learning from the rest of the world.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at microsoft.com/people-ready.
Finally, a Dutch TV production company has come up with a new reality show that's tailor-made for our economic times. It's called Someone's Gotta Go. From our European desk, here's Stephen Beard.
The show was dreamt up by Endemol, the company that created the hit TV series Big Brother. Someone's Gotta Go is nothing if not topical. The theme, unemployment. Staff in a firm which has been hit hard by the recession get to choose which of their colleagues should be fired or who should get a pay cut. A bit tasteless, perhaps, but Ben Fenton, media correspondent of the Financial Times, says it's part of a continuing worldwide boom in new reality TV shows.
I came across one just the other day that I thought I'd be very interested in seeing myself. It's called Angry Carpenter, and it's a Swedish reality show which is described as a home and relationship makeover. So it's kind of a combination of DIY and divorce.
He says these shows may have a cathartic effect at a time of economic stress. Someone's Gotta Go is due to be aired in the US by Fox TV. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.